Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on this rainy and cold Wednesday. Good thing we're inside. Nothing to do outside. We say hello and good morning to Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Joe, what's up?
How you guys doing?
How's quarantine life?
It's probably the same as everyone. I'm definitely checking out what long hair looks like. I mean, I'm getting close to, like, in the late 80s, at one point I sort of got a little mullet going, and then my dad, military guy, was like, nah, we're chopping that off. So I think I'm close to, like, exceeding that probably in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s, I did have a mullet.
Yep. Oh, yeah. A permed? Did you have a permed mullet?
Didn't have a perm. No permed mullet. It was feathered. I think it's probably feathered mullet.
Oh, that's also beautiful.
Yeah. There's a lot of people tilting their head going, don't even understand what you guys are talking about. The University of Tennessee has just announced that their plans, their intentions, are to have fall classes on campus. Now that's 10 schools in the SEC of 14 that have made that type of announcement. What do you make of that news? Where is this going? Why is this coming out in early May? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I think we're also seeing, some schools talk about, plans for football with fans in the stands. But I mean, I still take all this stuff as that's the plan, right? Let's see how it goes. Obviously there's a business reason to put this stuff out there. Let's wait and see, and let's hope that things go in the direction we need them to go for that to actually materialize. But obviously, Darren, you look at this and you think about the possibility, and I know there's been a lot of talk about this, about, some schools being open for business on playing football and maybe some on their schedules that aren't, and then how would that look? And there's just so many variables right now, so many things up in the air. I'm still just kind of taking it all in and hoping that news continues to improve.
Yeah, I just feel like it's heading toward that there's going to be college football this fall. I believe that's why that's coming out. Now, what is it going to look like? What are the rules going to be? I don't know. I suspect, like, the NFL is, look, they really haven't waffled on anything. They're like, yeah, we're doing the draft. Oh, that's crazy. You shouldn't do the draft. Yeah, well, they did the draft, and guess what? They benefited big time. We're training camp. They kind of feel, they're putting it out there, business as usual. I don't know how they're going to do that. So let's say the fans, I think there was the model about the Dolphins, 65,000 seat stadium, 15, 20,000. So it's about a 25 to 30% capacity. I guess the interesting part to me is, let's say in Alabama you hold 100,000. Well, let's say you reach out to your 100,000 people and say, who really wants to come during these times, though? And you get 100,000 responses of, yeah, we're in. Okay, who gets the tickets then? Clemson, right, Ohio exactly. State. Yeah, who gets the tickets? So you allow 30,000 in of the 100. Okay, who gets to come in? And so, look, those are problems probably at this point you welcome, but I will be curious to see if it is moving forward and going that direction, how they're going to do it.
Yeah, no, and the Dolphins plan is really interesting. And, obviously for – you think about college football, I mean, those luxury boxes, I mean, because, my first instinct is, well, the people who give the money are the ones who get in the stadium, right? But, they'll be in boxes anyway, so – I guess you could look at it like, well, gee, if the supply has been cut down that much and the demand is that high, like, does that affect the price? I mean, maybe on the secondary market, for a big game, But that's also if people are comfortable enough. You know, I still have questions about, you know, where we'll be and will that many people be comfortable enough being in that situation. And then also, you have that, like you said, Darren, you know, schools talking about coming back. I mean, that's got to be part of college football happening. But then what happens when one guy gets the virus on a team, you know, and then what's the reaction to that? How dramatic is the reaction to that? I mean, you can quarantine that guy, but then how many of his teammates got it in practice, or how many guys from the other team got it in the game? You didn't, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I think the answer, one answer for all this stuff has to be obviously like way more testing and repetitive testing to make sure that the environments are clean.
Yeah. We had Christian Fulton on the show yesterday, Titans second-round pick from LSU, which they were thrilled to get. The cornerback, they also signed Jonathan Joseph from the Texans, and it was pretty clear. In fact, I even said in the interview yesterday, I introduced him as wearing number 26, and we had Buzz Peterson on right after him because I wanted to see how Willie and Chase would react to that afterwards because, you know, right away when you saw the Titans – put out there the numbers, I mean, the first thing that jumped out at me is, oh, he's going to wear 26. Well, I mean, I think, at least I did, I felt like that was already, them drafting Fulton, bringing in Joseph, that was already the end for Logan Ryan anyway, but you could tell that was it. What, are you surprised? And then he made it official on his social media. What do you make of kind of the way the whole Logan Ryan thing played out and what he said?
I thought it just meant Logan Ryan was switching to number 8, but you know, apparently I was wrong on that.
Wow!
I'm sorry. No, you know, I mean, I think by the time we got to, you know, to this week, no big surprise. I mean, I think the draft kind of told the story that they were moving on, and it's interesting because I think Logan Ryan was one of the best players they had on defense last year overall, his all-around play. He did so much for them. I think you have to put so much value on what he does pre-snap for them, you know, and as a blitzer, as a tackler, just as an all-around, he's just a playmaker. Now, of course, we also saw him when he was forced outside when they were banged up, and you saw that's where he gets exposed. I mean, he's getting older. He can't run with the fastest receivers in the league. You bring in Christian Fulton, and you have clearly upgraded your speed. I mean, if you go back and look at Fulton, especially in that Alabama game against Judy and Ruggs, running with those guys, you know, it was impressive. I mean, he brings much-needed speed and overall, I think, ability to the position. But there's still a big loss with the cerebral aspects of the game. And then in the locker room, too, I would consider Logan Ryan. There's a lot of really good leaders leaving. Jarrell Casey, Delanie Walker. You know, I think Wesley Woodyard, you know, I don't expect him back. I mean, you could make the case Logan Ryan was right at the top. I mean, it's hard to you know, Casey and Walker had been around a lot longer, but in a short period of time, I mean, he and Kevin Byard really kind of ran that DB room. So that's a lot you're giving up. But the bottom line is that price tag was too big, and in this league, you've got to be able to, you know, churn some things out and bring in some younger, cheaper talent at different spots.
Can I ask you, where did the price tag story come out? Where did that originate? How did we know that Logan Ryan was not going to take less than what he made on his last deal? Where did
that's a great question. It's a really good question, and I don't know. I mean, I think all those stories originate with agents, but I don't recall, as you're asking me that, like where that initially came out. But I mean,
because I feel like that was a bad play, right? That's been a bad card laid. Wherever that came from, if that came from him, that's why I'm asking, because I don't remember how we learned of this. To me, it's been a bad card played. I don't think it helped him at all. Like,
no,
you don't
that's,
say
that's
that publicly.
And, yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair point. And again, I think anytime you see something like that, you assume it comes from the agent side of things. And you know, I'll tell you though, I would have expected that someone would be okay with that based on his body of work, and you know, he's still got some good years left in him. I would have expected that, that number to me, I thought, boy, I don't know if the Titans are going to go there again. You know, they went 3 for 30 with him. I just don't know if they're going to be good keeping him at 10 plus. But I would have expected on the open market that someone else would have done that. You know, I mean, that's how free agency is. I mean, guys get overpaid all the time. He's still a good football player. I think it really must have hurt him a lot. I mean, you can pick out games and parts of games last year where he got exposed in coverage. And that must have hurt him a lot more than I would have figured. I still think his overall body of work was awfully impressive. But, yeah, you got to run at that position.
I'll be curious to see what he ends up getting and where, of course. Joe Rexroad is with us with The Athletic. And, Joe, I know we're all getting creative here in what we're putting out there for content. I do want to ask you, you know, what those discussions are like at The Athletic. I've enjoyed your variety of topics here. I'm still waiting for, though, the article on the 80s Jack Morris. Joe is in a league with us, guys, with the simulated baseball from the 70s and 80s. These are the best players with their best seasons in the decade of the 70s and 80s. Jack Morris, last I checked, was the winningest pitcher in the 1980s in real life. But in this league, he's currently 2-14 with a 7.19 ERA. Joe, what's going on?
There's about to be a full investigation, Willie. I'm telling you, man. And, you know, I picked 1986 Jack Morris. That was really his best year of the 80s. And like you said, he's the winningest pitcher of the 80s. He was terrific all decade. I guess I should have just gone 84 Morris. He threw the no-hitter that year, and they won the World Series. But I was like, okay, well, 86 was his best year. You can pick guys in whatever season of the decade. And apparently that was a big mistake. I don't know, but I mean, this has got a course correct at some point, right? I mean, I keep waiting for it. I mean, he was like 0-9 or something when he got his first win. So, that's very troubling. But no, as far as The Athletic, we've tried to people are just throwing ideas out there. We've had some really good ideas for what we call blitzes. So it's like, okay, let's do a movie blitz. So you have the ranking of movies, but also different stories about, you know, related to sports movies and things like that. I wrote one on my favorite player, of course. I had to get in some love for Isaiah Thomas. You know, we got the do-over series this week. I wrote today about Derek Dooley and what if the ball's got a do-over on that. So there's a lot of different things in sports. John Clement had a good one on, you know, Eddie George. What if he never left for Dallas? You know, would he have had enough numbers staying here to push him over the top and into the Hall of Fame? I think it's an interesting question. So, you know, it's just trying to – we got more to come. You're trying to be creative while still, you know, luckily we have the draft and things like that and movement and college basketball and name, image, likeness. I mean, there's stuff going on, but, yeah, try to come up with things to just supplement and give subscribers as much as possible.
Joe, as you can imagine, we have, by the way, you guys are doing a great job with that. I've enjoyed reading, and I know the three of us are always passing along articles that you guys have been writing and everybody on the athletic staff nationally. But Joe, this is something that you've written about that's right in our wheelhouse because we've been arguing back and forth. I've always been a defender of Corey Davis, and I'm to the point where I'm past, you know, where you were drafted. At this point, you know, it's you are what you are, and you have to decide what the guy is worth going forward. But unfortunately, you know, his fifth-year option is tied directly to where he was drafted, so even I can't justify $15.7 million. But I think you wrote along the same lines as I did. Somewhere in here, there's the right price for Corey Davis. He's going to have an opportunity. How would you approach it if you were the Titans?
Yeah, exactly. And I agree. I mean, I think Corey Davis has been a solid player, and I know people roll their eyes at the whole, you know, blocking downfield for receiver, but in this offense, you kind of need that, you know? And you can go back and trace some big plays Derrick Henry has had and find Corey Davis blocks that were huge parts of those plays, and you can find receivers who wouldn't do that. So, you know, you got to take that in mind. I mean, the thing about Corey Davis is he, you know, in terms of his presence on the team and work ethic and all that stuff, you know, there's there's no complaints from the Titans. But like you said, I mean, you can't justify paying Corey Davis $15 million plus, $15.7 million or whatever it is, after a 43-catch, 600-yard season. So it's going to be really interesting. I really think, to me, they're absolutely signing up to be reliant on him this year. They didn't draft anyone. They let Tajae Sharpe go. You know, they've got Khalif Raymond and Cam Batson will come back, but it's really Brown, Humphreys, Davis. And Davis is going to have an opportunity to produce this year, and I think he and Tannehill, you would think, would be able to build better chemistry. This situation globally doesn't help that right now because they'd be, you know, throwing back and forth at this point. But I think he can have a better year. And then if he does, you know, what does that mean? I mean, a lot of times guys don't get that option and they're resolved to go elsewhere. I think some of that was true with Jack Conklin, you know, and looking back at how that all went down. But if the Titans are in a situation where they're like, oh, shoot, we'd like to sign this guy, then that bodes well for 2020, that's for sure.
I got one more, and then Chase, I know, has a question or two for you here. I see where Vanderbilt has picked up a grad transfer, a starter from Arizona State, who looks like he can really help them, which tells me, number one, that they've figured out some things with grad transfers, because that's been a problem for their basketball team, and it shouldn't be at Vanderbilt. That should be a strength. For sure. So that was the good news. The bad news is, of course, Saban Lee has decided that he's going to stay in the pro ranks and go regardless of what happens here. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, Willie, and that's so you're talking about LaMelo White from Arizona State, which is a really nice pickup. And yeah, that's always the thing with Vanderbilt. You know, essentially, it's like it's just really hard to get into grad school at Vanderbilt. I mean, look. On one hand, you look at it like, hey, that's actually how college is supposed to be. It's hard to get into grad school, so you can't just pick up grad transfers. But at the same time, yeah, if you're trying to be competitive, you know, you'd like to be able to have that as an avenue. I mean, it's such a bigger part of the game now. So that's big for Vanderbilt to pick him up. And yet, you know, on Saban Lee, even when he announced, I mean, it felt like a goodbye. And I almost thought, gosh, I wonder if he's like, going to transfer if things don't work out, but obviously he's all in. You know, Saban Lee can go on a court with anyone in that league and match up athletically. You know, I mean, he can hold his own. I thought Stackhouse got such improvement out of him, and I really thought one more year together would have been terrific for Saban Lee. You know, he's never going to be a great jump shooter, but that's got to get better. I'm going to be really interested to see how this works out. I do think as an athlete, as a change of pace, point guard off the bench, as a guy who should be a great defender and you can kind of bring in and find a role for him, I think eventually probably some G League time and he can find his way in the league. But it is too bad for Vanderbilt because I really thought with him and Pippen coming back and then, you know, Cleavon Brown – back, some of the other guys, young guys who Dylan Dessou, I think is going to be a really nice player. Thought they could have, you know, really been a surprise team next year, and obviously they're going to be just a very different looking team now.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic is here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And going back to the Titans, Joe, we've obviously addressed wide receiver, different things that John Robinson tried to do in the offseason, but, and I know Darren's going to agree with this next question. I still have concern with the backup quarterback. You got Tannehill locked up, but the guy has been hurt at times in his career. There are injury concerns, and nothing against Cole McDonald or Logan Woodside, but I just don't have a high confidence level in those guys being the backup quarterback and having to come in and win games if it comes to that. Where are you on that, and where do you think the Titans are on that?
Well, I agree, Chase, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, there are some veterans out there. I mean, look, I've had the dream of Bortles to Nashville for a while. He's still on the market, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Hey.
No.
Look, I mean,
no.
People make...
As a backup.
No Bortles?
No.
Well, hey, look, people can make fun of Bortles, and it's very easy to do, but I would feel more comfortable with Blake Bortles giving me a chance to win one game than a rookie coming in, or even as much as Logan Woodside has improved, I feel more comfortable with Blake Bortles there, too. If not him, is there another veteran out there they can pay and essentially make it a Cole McDonald versus Logan Woodside battle, you know, to be the three? I think that's possible.
If Jameis Winston can sign for $1 million and Andy Dalton for $3 million, couldn't they give Joe Flacco like a bag of footballs and some gift cards and have him come in?
I mean, that'd be really good.
Hattie B's gift cards or something.
The thing is, they may not even have Hattie B's gift cards available. They may not even have that much cap room if they sign Jadeveon Clowney. You know, I mean, that's
true.
The thing too. When you're trying to put the whole puzzle together, it's like how much to the limit and how much moving things around do you have to do, you know, to make that possible? And then what does that do for stuff like that? I know John Robinson's huge on giving himself some room. I mean, he's made some really significant moves in, you know, camp a lot. So you know, you keep that take that into account as well. But I think it would be absolutely beneficial for them to find one of those guys. Flacco would be, I think, a terrific choice if you could get him for a decent price.
It's a copycat league, though, Joe, and we've seen what the Eagles did. They brought in Jalen Hurts, drafted him, and there are going to be packages that they're going to use similar to how New Orleans uses Taysom Hill. We saw it some here last year with Marcus Mariota, that they would put Mariota in on certain plays. I know Cole McDonald could possibly have some of that ability, but do you think that's something else they're looking at when they're evaluating a backup quarterback, finding somebody that they can – you know, they have design plays in the offense?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a nice thing if you have it. And it was, I think it was one of those things where, well, hey, Mariota's a great athlete. He's been a great teammate through this. Keep him engaged. You know, he can throw teams off a little bit and have a little package. You're right. It's a copycat league, but I don't know if we're going to see like a rash of teams out there trying to make those choices so that they can have, you know, a guy like that, a Swiss Army knife. I mean, I think it's great if you have it. Cole McDonald is a terrific athlete, so you're right. If he earns his way onto the team, then maybe he could be used in that way. But I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised if they're on the front end looking at it that way, you know? I mean, give Derrick Henry the ball, play action pass, keep Ryan Tannehill clean, and win football games.
Joe, we've got to ask you, since we haven't, what have your thoughts on The Last Dance?
I've liked it. And look, I'm a full disclosure. I was not a Michael Jordan fan. I grew up a Pistons fan. Isaiah Thomas, like my favorite athlete ever. So, you know, I grew up rooting hard against Jordan and enjoying the Pistons beating him in 3 of the 4 series they played him in the playoffs. And then screaming at the TV when, like, the other night when they had, like, you know, the Suns are up 4 and Jordan goes coast to coast with, like, 40 seconds left, you know, to cut 2. I mean, I was like, I remember screaming at the TV, like, stop the ball. Also, if Jordan has the ball, really, stop the ball. The Knicks, you know,
yeah, run three guys out.
Layup. What's that?
Yeah, you got to run 2 or 3 guys out of make him give it up in that situation. That was a terrible loss by the Suns. Underrated loss.
I mean, the Suns and I think the Jazz in the second time should have won those series, but they didn't. They give credit. I've really enjoyed the doc. I haven't learned a ton from it. I think people our age, you know, we knew a lot of or most of this stuff. I do love the footage from 97, 98. I wish this was not something there where Jordan had final edit, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that weakens it a little bit. But still, I mean, I'm engrossed. And honestly, I thought they treated the Pistons pretty fairly. I just wish Isaiah Thomas would be like Jordan and look in the camera and admit that he hates Jordan, because Jordan is more than happy to tell us how much he hates Isaiah Thomas.
Because he comes off as a phony.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I think they were really mad at the stuff Jordan was saying about how they were saving basketball by beating the Pistons. And again, if you watch the NBA at that time, the Pistons were far from the only team beating people up at the rim. Now, you know, Morin and Lambeer are a special brand of nasty, but, you know, they were really ticked about that. And I wish
at least Lambeer is being himself. You know what I mean? He's coming out saying, no, I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Do it again. Be yourself. Isaiah just comes off as a phony. That's just my opinion.
Well, no, I've been disappointed because I think it's very much a damage control situation with him. And it's like, hey, man, you know, I love this stuff. Seeing how intense the dislike was expect that. And he felt that every bit of that for Jordan. So just admit it.
Yeah. Joe, good stuff. Really appreciate it. Continue to be safe with the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.